Hello, Internet!
Okay, now I'm starting the broadcast.
Internet, are you still there?
Dear Internet.
Oh, shit.
I never thought it would happen
sign
to me.
Into the chat.
There you go.
Internet, can you hear me?
I never thought this would happen to me.
Dear Squirrel Report.
Oh dear. Don't get started on that.
What?
What?
We're not doing Dear Squirrel Report. No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, that's what we need. We need a Squirrel Report, Miss Manners.
I like this idea.
Yeah.
Dear Squirrel Report.
The appropriate response is to say, shut up, cunt.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, I really like this idea. We should have, like, a Dear Abby.
Ask the squirrel.
Make sure.
Make
sure that knife the hobo in the right lung. That way he can't scream.
Remember, you have to puncture the lungs and the stomach, or the body will float. Oh wait.
Yep.
I'm sorry. That was Ask the Guido.
Ask the Guido.
Remember,
filling in for the
puncture the lungs and the stomach.
Not if you tie enough weights to them. By the time they mush up enough to squeeze out of the weights, they'll pretty much be a wet piece of bread.
Ugh.
Wet piece of bread.
Oh, great.
Good evening, everyone.
Yes.
Welcome to the Squirrel Report.
It is. The Squirrel Report. And I have music here somewhere.
Call in Dear Squirrel Report. I never thought it would happen to me.
Yes, I love that idea. Except not like vicious circle.
No, not brown chicken, brown cow. But
no.
Brown ducklings? The ducklings that I raised were brown ones.
Did you all see the story about the turtle that was found in somebody's basement after 30 years? They thought the turtle was lost.
Yes.
They thought it ran away. Well,
they thought the turtle ran away, but apparently it had been locked in a record player box for 30 years.
How did it eat?
It didn't.
No, really? They said it was in the basement eating bugs.
No,
and stuff.
No, I read a different thing where it was locked in like a record player, an LP player.
I'm sorry.
Box?
I absolutely do not believe that story. There is no possible way that a turtle can live in a box for 30 years with no food.
Maybe it just hibernated.
Don't care.
Hibernation still burns calories.
Yeah.
Just not many.
No way. There is absolutely no way that story's true. Somebody not telling the truth. Somebody's lying. There is no way a living organism sat in a box for 30 years and is still alive. Unless it's like a bacteria or something.
Turtles are not bacteria.
No.
In that case, the bacteria is kind of sort of not living for most of that time. When bacteria sporify, are they really alive?
I saw the picture of the turtle. It was so sad.
Life is anything that dies when you stomp on it. So,
you know, yeah. Came out of his little turtle coma.
Matt St. Jack wants to know if it was an MSNBC story.
Yes. Turtle mitosis.
And Nancy Randall just asked, turtles can run? Yes, they can. Myra can haul ass when she wants to.
Turtles,
she really can.
Turtles can actually move when they... I was at the zoo this past weekend. I had a turtle charge me at the fence.
He's coming right for us!
He was. He was like...
Did you Mozambique that sumbitch?
No, because I got down close to the... Okay, so it's the turtle pen, right? So it's, you know, the fence is like a foot tall because, you know, turtles...
They don't have a very good vertical leap.
Turtles can run, but they cannot.
The fence is more to keep people out than the turtles in. And I kind of got down on the ground to take a picture of this turtle, and this other one just came right at me, like, "Hi, it's my new friend," and was like trying to stick his head through the fence to get at me. And I was kind of like, "Oh,
you look
okay.
Tasty, Alan."
Well, it's a herbivore turtle. He didn't want to eat me. He wanted me to feed it or something.
What kind of turtle was it?
I don't know. It's some big turtle.
How do you know it was a herbivorous turtle?
Because they were eating leaves and shit.
Well, maybe it's an omnivorous turtle. My turtle was omnivorous.
Mine is too.
No, Myra's not.
She only
eat worms.
She's worms. What the hell are you talking about?
No, she's fruit and stuff.
I have heard stories of her eating fruit and stuff, but...
No, Brita posted a picture of her eating a blackberry.
Okay, that's true. All right.
You picked a blackberry from your garden, you put it up on YouTube. It was awesome.
Ugh.
Sounds like you've got a little YouTube stalker, Brita.
I know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I like YouTube.
Yeah, clearly. He likes Brita's YouTube.
I put videos of myself up at, like, what was I, eight years old on my YouTube. And it's a little creepy to see yourself, you know, at 8 years old.
What pissed me off is it said post-recital interview, and there really wasn't a whole hell of a lot of interviewing going on.
There was no interview.
Yeah, I know. they just wanted to take pictures of my leg, I think. You know.
Instead, it was just young girl fidgeting a lot.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, that's one thing. When I was eight, I was really fidgety. I wanted to tell myself, "Stand still, damn it!"
Yeah.
You know, I don't. I lost the fidget.
Yeah, well, you did.
That was the '80s, Brita, and there was a whole lot of cocaine going around. Brita did a recital and then took a couple of Victory big fat rails.
And you surely you caught the proto death stare at the end there.
Yeah,
it doesn't work with the wide open 8 year old eyes.
I think I thought the camera was off, had been turned off, and it was kind of like a candid, okay, I'm bored now. Can we please go? Kind of moment.
Where's my ice cream? I did the damn recital.
Yeah, I did the recital. I did the interview. Can we go now?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yep. Hey, let's play some music.
Hey.
Let me make sure I'm set to play some music.
Or not.
No, hang on. Make sure everything's... Okay, here we go. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh, okay.
Worst show ever.
You have to have the music right next to the mic now.
What is going on?
All right, good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night, Internet.
This is...
Did you lose the music?
I did not lose the music.
You're just going to have to sing now.
Oh, hell no.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, you have to sing it.
We're
sorry.
Everybody.
There we go. Finally. It's Thursday, January 31st, last day of... January 2013. I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's Wednesday, October 74th, 2020.
Wait.
Sunday.
I got the wrong date again.
New England Dragway.
Damn time machine. It's only 2013. There's still time.
They're making fun of you in the chat, Al.
Of course they are.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the Squirrel Report, everybody.
Yeah. We're off to
Thursday
a great
again.
Start.
And it's cold again.
Oh my God. It was like 70 degrees yesterday here. And then today I woke up, there's a blizzard. What the hell, Ohio?
It was 65 when I walked to work, and by 10, it was 40.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's like 30 now.
I'm curious to see if the ultra dry cold air sucks up most of the puddles, or if the entire world tomorrow is going to be a skating rink.
It's going to be a skating rink.
Skating rink.
Yeah, it is here for sure.
Which is okay because the doors to our shed are somewhere in orbit.
Oh, they blew away.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, that was one of the worst winds I've heard in a while.
They're gone.
That definitely sounded like 70 knots to me.
So anyway, this episode of the Squirrel Report, we're talking about the weather.
Yay!
See, we were actually staying on topic for once.
That's right. So we want you to call in.
So just so you know, if the Squirrel Report goes like any relationship ever been in, when you just start talking about the weather, you know the breakup is coming soon.
Wow.
Weird doesn't just love me the anymore.
I'm stunned.
I think I think Weird wants to break up.
With us?
Yeah, that's what he
said. Well, I just got to say, the sex isn't what it used to be.
But we love you.
Yeah.
Squirrel report, you've gotten back to your fighting weight.
More duct tape.
Yeah, Squirrel report, it's either time to give up the anal or give up the ghost.
You're saying the Squirrel report just lies there and doesn't move?
That's right. Like the old Henny Youngman joke, man was making love to his wife and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, did I hurt you?" She goes, "No, why?" He says, "I'm sorry, I thought you moved."
Ouch. Oh,
God.
Nice.
So anyway, we're talking about the weather, and I'm sure you're having some, unless you're, in Hawaii.
What?
Unless you're in Hawaii.
I don't think Hawaii actually
you're
exists.
Having...
I'm skeptical.
No, Hawaii exists.
Hawaii may not be real.
I've been there. It's real.
You haven't either. I saw your Hawaiian birth certificate. That means you were born in Kenya.
You were born in Kenya, damn it.
Alan's really Kenyan.
That's right. How many lions were in Hawaii, Alan?
Wildebeest.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's
what did you contract dengue fever in Hawaii?
Yeah, sleeping sickness.
He saw the volcanoes of Kilimanjaro.
Volcanoes? Kilimanjaro is just one volcano, Jay.
Anyway.
Volcanoes on Hawaii.
Unless you're in Hawaii, you've been having weather. And it's been weird weather.
Yes.
Because it's been warm and then it's been cold.
How is it in Texas?
It's quite nice in Texas.
What was your high today?
I think it was 65-ish.
Oh.
Ooh, chilly.
Yeah, it was chilly. I actually needed a jacket.
Put on a jacket.
Did you put on your Wooby?
No. No, but I wore a jacket this morning because it was like 48 and windy.
48.
Yeah.
People here are like, oh my God, 48, bring out the shorts.
It was,
I'll wear the kilt at 48.
It's 53 right now, so.
Wow.
But, you know, what was it? When? Tuesday? Or Wednesday, that Ohio was warmer than Texas.
Yesterday. I took a screen cap of my phone just to prove it. Just to prove that our temperature was higher than your temperature, I took a screen cap.
All right,
it was really early in the morning, but still, it counts.
Regionally speaking, there's always one set temperature grade, and I want to know when this temperature grade gets reached in Texas. At what point in time does the temperature become bullshit in Texas?
What do you mean bullshit?
When you're standing outside and you go, this is fucking bullshit.
Oh, well, depends. It depends on. Are you talking the actual degrees? Or are you talking the time, like what month it happens?
I'll go for an answer, Alan, if I can get one.
Well, it depends on where you are. I mean, if you're in the panhandle, you know, it's minus 10, you know. If you're in Dallas, it's, you know, I don't know, freezing.
Although in Texas, you also have this is bullshit temperature on the other end of the scale, correct?
Yeah, kind of. Basically anything over 100. And it's like, yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Of course, we also have air conditioning, so.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. Texas, I've said it over and over again. Texas, the migration from north to south did not happen until they invented air conditioning. Until then, only
for those of you in northern climes, they hook a Frigidaire up to their house.
They do.
Yep. So
they got a fancy ice box.
Now down in Houston and south of here in South Texas, if it gets below 50, people are like, oh fuck this shit, it's too cold.
Oh my God.
they go down to what, Gainesville?
I don't know. Come on, they grow fruit in Brownsville. I mean, come on. It's like Florida down there.
Well, our bullshit temperature is, you know what, we, in Ohio, we get cold and we stay cold for a long time. It's like, you know, weeks and weeks below freezing. You're like, you know, this is bullshit.
Yeah, so I definitely think it's definitely a time. It's not a temperature.
No, it's
a stagnation. Yeah.
It's how long it's been that cold.
Jesus Christ! And it's usually like mid February where people are getting really surly about the weather. It's like, when will this fucking end? It's like, yeah. and of course in Cleveland we don't get sunshine like ever until May. It feels like really it's ridiculous.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
No, it's not.
I don't know. Is it?
No.
It might probably get more sun than Cleveland, really.
I don't know.
It's crazy here. Oh, Mad St. Jack is reminding me that he lives in southern Ohio, where it's apparently tropical or something.
That's where they have all the orange groves.
Yeah.
I'm not moving.
Yeah, they have palm trees.
Palm trees in Ohio.
The oasis of Southern Ohio.
They have fruit groves. The fruit groves only grow unions, though.
Yeah. And then on top of the cold and the crappy weather and the no sun for months, we get the lake effect snow, which I can't even tell you. It's terrible. It's just like overnight, you get a foot of snow. It's like, oh, okay.
900 feet.
It's crazy. Yeah.
900. So yeah, anyway,
we don't know anything about that, do we?
If you have an interesting weather story, like a horrible snow event or a horrible ice event, or the time you sat out on your front porch and watched cars run into each other on the street, which is my personal favorite. I love those videos. Call in. Tell us about it. 214-530-0036. Or if you have any other thing you want to talk about, because we have a few topics tonight.
We need to at least
have one person who was in the Seattle area for that time when they sprayed the streets down with water to keep them from freezing. I love those videos. That's a good way to feel good about yourself, is watch those cars playing ping pong with each other.
Yeah, and you know, I'm still shocked that when it gets cold and icy and snowy like that, people still park their cars on the street.
Because there's
always somebody that comes along and you know, it's like no matter where you're parked on the street, somebody's going to slide into you. Just, it's like a trap. You could be the only car on the street and somebody's going to slide into you.
Well, that's why the trick is to have Tam's car.
Oh, look, somebody from Seattle's calling in. I shit you not.
Hey, yeah.
Gee, who could that be?
Hello, Seattle, area code 206.
Hey, guys, it's Ben.
Hey,
Baron.
What's up, Baron?
Yeah, so I figured since you all started ripping on Seattle, I figured I'd call in even though I don't live in that shithole anymore.
Your phone still says Seattle.
Yes, I know my phone still says Seattle because I haven't ditched my cell phone because I've had it for like 10 years and I have lots of friends with this number in it.
You know that.
Why uproot?
Okay. That's true. You know.
My phone says Ellsworth, Maine, and I actually never had that phone when I was living in the Ellsworth area. I have no idea why.
So were you there when they sprayed the streets down?
Okay. Bear? This sounds really crappy for some reason.
What?
Am I coming through good?
Yep, we can hear you fine.
Okay, I guess you were just modulating weird, Alan. But, yes, my personal favorite winter video, though, is the video out of Portland, of Pioneer Hill.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say the whale on the beach.
Well, the whale on the beach is just entertaining, but I just love the Subaru because he starts sliding down the hill. And his solution is, I have lost traction, so I am going to apply as much power as I can to this problem, and I will just bounce off of everything, and eventually I will make it to the bottom and be fine.
Bumper car.
I've gone up hills that way. If you create enough friction, eventually you can melt the ice.
If it's thin enough, yeah.
Or you make super ice.
Lurch forward, and then you spin until you hit the, until you melt the ice, and then you lurch forward.
Power your way up.
Exactly. I have one speed, forward.
My dad got his car stuck in the driveway during a particularly heavy snow, and I said, "All right, Dad, don't worry, I'll get behind you and rock you out." And he just friggin' floors it, and I just start spinning the tires. And I just ran over to the driver's side. I said, "Stop! How fucking fucking long have you lived in Maine?
and Weird was only 8 at the time.
I believe it.
Like, oh, congratulations. Now you've gone from being stuck in the snow to being stuck in pack ice. Good.
That's exactly right. I actually chewed one guy's ass because he was driving around on the streets of Pullman, and he was just purposely breaking it loose and just creating pack ice everywhere. And he's making sure to do it in intersections, too.
Great.
My favorite thing to do in intersections. Oh, go ahead, Baron.
But, the other entertaining thing, so we actually had a massive snowstorm come through Monday night, and it dropped about 15 to 16 inches of snow. And thankfully, I didn't have this problem, but sadly, a friend of mine did. He had to put his truck into a guardrail because some dipshit decided that he was going to pass without a headlights on, and so he basically near had a head-on with limited visibility on snow and ice. And, of course, the son of a bitch didn't get hit and drove off.
Wow.
I hate those dickheads who don't turn on their headlights.
Yes.
That's a gang initiation.
No, it's not. Stop that.
I was driving down Cape Cod in, like, a massive downpour, and some dipshit tried to pass me in a black BMW with the headlights off.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, congratulations, awesome. I almost staved up your really nice car.
Whew.
I used to look for BMWs when I had my Cadillac and driving in Boston. I had an old piece of shit Cadillac, and merging was great. It was look for a BMW, cut him off, because they would stand on their brakes rather than hit the giant piece of shit gray turd.
Nice.
Was it a primer gray turd?
What's that?
Was it a primer gray turd?
No, it was just that shitty GM gray.
Oh, the flaked off stuff, yeah. Yeah. That was a bad paint.
And it was a Coupe de Ville, so it was about 800 feet long.
Did you have dents in it already?
It had a couple.
Good. That proves you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
city car.
The thing with the length of that car, Jay, is it was the perfect demolition derby car.
Oh, yeah.
There was so much room to crumple. You could just keep running forever.
Well, except it had the shitty 4.1 liter motor.
Two feet between the front grill and the engine. Oh,
those Hollywood fans.
Thanks for calling, Baron.
Yep, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Thanks, Baron.
Speaking of Coupe de Ville, I saw the Coupe de Ville in Boston. I don't know if it was hauling the governor or if it was hauling the soon-to-be Secretary of State or the
I get it.
the first black Democrat senator who was not duly elected.
Oh
yeah,
because they won't vote for one. But
well, yeah, they only vote for black Republicans in Mass.
Well, let me. We got more callers.
Oh, oh wow! Hey.
Yeah. People, you know what? I think people love to talk about the weather.
They do
because I've noticed on Facebook people love talking about their weather.
This is area code 843. Hello.
Hey, this is Ben from South Carolina.
Howdy.
I've got two other stories now. In the South, you know, we don't get much snow, but the two I remember is the big storm of 73. Well, I think we probably got 2 to 3 foot of snow around here, and that's a lot. And
that is a lot.
The next one was not. Well, around here, that's a lot. The second one. It was really weird because what happened, it seemed like it snowed a couple of feet. Then we got, like, freezing rain. And so you had this big, thick sheet of ice that was basically thick enough to support the weight of a car. And I've got a big memory of my uncle driving around on it on a 69 or 64 Chevy Nova 2 doing donuts on the ice.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Was the Nova 2 the little subcompact that they had, or?
Nah, it wasn't a subcompact. Yeah. It was a small car, but it was the one that.
It was a small car for the time,
right? But, yeah, but it was. If you saw it today, you'd think it was big.
Yeah, that's when your average car was approximately the size of a convenience store.
Yeah. I thought that was
the Nova 2.
I just read the other day that the Dodge Dart was the compact.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
When I was in high school, the hot rodders used to love to drop a V8 in them. and make them drag cars.
Yeah, because they were light.
And by light, you mean, you know, 9,000 pounds.
Yeah, they were only 2 tons.
Weighed less than a convenience store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy. Hey, thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Bye. Oh, man, we got people lined up. I mean, no shit, we got people lined up calling.
Boy, this is crazy. A great topic.
I know.
I'm shocked, actually. Okay.
This is area code 806. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
We're fine. I can hear you.
Okay, good. It's Travis.
Hey, Travis.
Hi, Travis.
Hey, Travis.
And my bullshit weather-related story was that happened back in 2005. And I'm working in Brandon, Florida, just outside of Tampa, going on the weekend because I'm a dedicated employee. Told us not to park in the parking garage because they were finishing it up. So I park out front of the building. Now, there's a hurricane way down in the Keys. We're talking hundreds of miles away. And Peter Band comes through, knocks one of the mature palm trees that they planted in the front right over, and it smashes in the top of my car.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no.
Sunroofs are nice to have in Florida.
Yeah. Now, what was funny was when they put the palm trees in, they put some half-assed bracing around them. Ugh. But, I mean, you know, if you've ever seen the root ball of a palm tree, it's not much wider than the tree trunk. And so they put it in the sandy soil. No roots. I mean, the three of them fell over, and you know, one of them hit the car. So I call my superior and say, you know, a tree just fell on my car. Well, they had that car hauled off before Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
They did not want to have anybody else see it. But, yeah, so that's my story.
That's a good one.
And was that covered by your insurance?
Yeah, yeah.
Like an act of God type thing?
Actually, did pretty well. You know, State Farm covered it without a problem. They even paid you know, top retail value for it. But you know, this car had already been paid off, and I love that car. And
that's a shame.
Yeah.
The nice thing about cars is they make more of them.
That's right. So. Cool. Well, thanks for calling, Travis.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Bye. Man, I'm telling you, we got people lined up calling in. This awesome. Is crazy.
We don't have to talk. This is great.
Actually, I want Brita to tell her story about the rage quit guy.
Oh, later.
Okay. Because that's like coming up.
Okay.
For your later. Listening pleasure.
Yes, that is a great one.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
But he at least he told you.
Yep.
Who are you again?
How can I miss you if you won't go away?
Hello, yeah. New Jovian Thunderbolt.
Thibault.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
You're on.
Oh. Have you ever had ice on the road in front of your driveway and you wanted to think, well, you know, if I boiled a bunch of water, I'd be able to take care of that real quick?
Nobody in Yankee Land thinks that because we know better.
No, we think that. We just think that once at about age 8.
Hey, that didn't work. Yeah.
If you had enough hot water, you could make it work.
Just don't pour it on your windshield.
No, enough hot water will not make it work. I used to work at a brewery. I had 1,000 gallons of 200-degree water, pump, a boiler. I could make water as fast as I could pump it out of the thing with inch-and-a-half hoses and nozzles, and we just needed to clear the driveway so the truck could back up to the loading dock. It takes hours.
That's awesome.
And it's still a nice device.
And then you get a nice little skating rink behind the truck.
Not my problem. Once they get it off the loading dock.
Yeah, nice. We got our shit. It's all up to you, buddy.
You're on your own.
Let me know if you need tea.
Here, I'll sprinkle some kitty litter down.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Oh, yeah, great.
I love the people that keep the kitty litter as if that shit fucking works.
It works sometimes.
I just wanted to share that little snow clearing thing.
Well, thanks. Physics is fun.
Ice is nice.
Okay, later.
All right, bye. I'm telling you, we still got people. We got, it's like the people from Washington calling in today.
Well, we got to have our
Washington represent.
I remember that time when it rained.
Area code 360. Hello.
Well, hi, y'all. How you doing today?
Doing fine.
Hi.
I've actually got two quick snow stories, and I know I'm in Hawaii. That doesn't make sense, but I haven't lived here my entire life.
Hawaii doesn't exist.
We will.
No.
It's really called Kenya.
Your phone says Seattle, so that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, sure. We can go with Seattle. Except for I hate that city, but we'll ignore that. When I was about 15, my dad wrecked his truck one winter. So he walked home, got me in the tractor, and hooked it up, and I drove the tractor back. And, of course, being 15, I drove it as fast as it could go. Towed him to 3 miles to the house. He didn't have a windshield. There was about 18 inches of snow on the ground. According to him, I put all the snow between the truck and the house in his windshield. He didn't think it was super as funny as I did.
Nice. Oh, man.
The other thing I found out, and this is when I was living in Germany, I went from an all-wheel drive car to a rear-wheel drive car.
Oh, yeah. I just got my first rear-wheel drive car this year, and boy, is it different.
Yeah.
It is so much fun.
Extra weight in the trunk.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I slid into traffic today.
Over that rear axle, you're good.
Woot. Yeah. I got to get more kitty litter in the trunk, I think.
And unfortunately, yeah. you've got a rear wheel drive that has a manual transmission. Now that an automatic transmission. Mm-hmm. When you get a clutch on it, then you can really shorten your turning radius.
You don't need a standard for that. Weird.
Drifting on ice.
I can get my truck turned around in less than its own length if I do it right.
The V8 Mustang with a little bit of nitrous will turn exceedingly shortly in the snow. And all the other German cars around you, they turn on their flashers. It's like they're clapping for you as you go through the intersection driveway, screaming like a girl.
Yay!
I got a standing ovation!
Oh, God. What an image.
Oh, that's funny.
One of my favorite things to do in the Dodge Earthfucker is if I've got somebody tailgating me too close in the snow, I'll stomp on the gas because it'll just kick the truck sideways. And as soon as I take my foot off the gas, it snaps straight again. But they think I'm going off into the woods, and they back way off. And
also, what's nice is you just threw every bit of gravel and ice chunks onto their windshield.
That helps too. That's an added benefit.
Yep.
I was driving on the Autobahn for the snow ruts in the middle of the road to get people to back off of me. Because it's like, really, dude, it's snowing. You can't see 50 feet. We're already doing 100 miles an hour. Get off me.
It is Autobahn.
Because Autobahn!
Yeah.
You might be in your X5 with all those cool little computers keeping you safe. I'm in a Ford. It doesn't do that.
I'm one of those lazy sons of bitches that if we get a lot of snow, I don't bother cleaning off my roof. I just go sideways through the first intersection I come to. And then there's no more snow on the roof. Done and done.
Oh, yeah.
Germany is they'll ticket you for that. You driving with snow on your roof, you create a hazard.
Really?
Well, wow. Yeah. It's Germany. We have rules.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah,
we have rules.
Driving while Jewish.
They don't enforce that one too much anymore.
Did we're just Godwin the
fuck yeah, I did.
He did. Oh, hey, thanks for calling. All right. We got two more people. Let me take MDev here. He's been on and off for a couple of times. Hey, MDev.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing fine. How are you?
Well, you stole all my Washington thunder by taking like 5 Washington callers before me.
That's all we got.
Yeah, but you're the only one that's actually, well, no, because Barron's still there. All right, so, yeah, we stole it.
That's okay. All I really was going to mention is we only get two kinds of bad weather, and that's bad rain and freezing rain that turns into ice and, you know, turns our city into giant popsicles. But we don't get any of the crazy shit tornadoes or fucking whatever you guys get back there. And we measure our snow in inches, not feet, weird day.
You're in Portland now or Seattle? Which?
No, I'm in Seattle now. I used to be in Portland.
Okay.
But my Portland weather is basically identical to my Seattle weather because I didn't move that far north.
They also occasionally get a freak sunshine.
And then they run around going, ah!
They cancel school.
Yeah. Hey, Sunday! Everybody go out and get your vitamin D while you can. Yeah, I remember when I was in Seattle and I went to the Space Needle thing, and I went up and it was a shitty day, which, you know, was like any day apparently in Seattle. It was all gray, and you know, the tour girl in the Space Needle was like, "Oh yes, it's a beautiful day here. You can actually almost see Mount Rainier. It's unusually clear." And I was like, oh, yeah, there's a lumpy thing off in the mist. Okay, I killed it.
Yes. Lumpy thing in the mist.
Yeah.
That'd be a great punk band.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be a good album.
Yeah.
All Bologna right. Squirrel, Lumpy Things in the Mist.
Lumpy Things in the Mist.
Yeah, wasn't that last week's show?
Oh, shit. Anyway, we got another caller. Area code 610. Hello. Hello. Area code 610.
Oh, hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Greetings,
this
caller.
Is you.
Hey, guys. It's Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey. This isn't so much a bull weather story as it is a dumbass moment that I had a couple weeks ago.
Oh, those are even better.
We're always happy to listen to dumbass moments that aren't ours.
So what happened was, it was last week, and we got hit with a snowstorm. And it wasn't too bad, just an inch or two of snow. But I was at work when it happened, so I get off work. I clean off my car because you can't have snow on your car in Pennsylvania driving around because it's a felony.
What?
Well, driving down the highway.
Which it should be, damn it.
Well, the problem was people weren't cleaning their cars off, and then they were going 60, 65 miles an hour down the highway, so you'd have huge chunks of snow flying yes. everywhere. It was a hazard. It was a legitimate hazard.
Rolling snowstorms.
Damn.
So, anyway, what happened was I'm going down the highway after work, my car is cleaned off, but I can't see too well out of the windshield because it's still got like snowflakes on it. And I hit the wipers, and that didn't do anything. So in a moment of sheer brilliance, I decided, oh, you know what? I'll just give this squirt a lighter fluid. It'll melt the snow right off. Well, it did for about 2 seconds, and then the wiper fluid completely froze all over the windshield.
Yeah.
45 miles an hour. Through construction zone cattle chutes with no shoulder.
Nice. Good
by
timing.
By some miracle, I didn't crash. Scariest 2 minutes of my life before that melted off. Before I could see again. That was just absolutely terrifying. And it was in the middle of rush hour, so it wasn't like I could just stop and turn the defogger on. I had traffic all around me. And I was totally
Andrew,
blind.
Andrew, you've turned your targeting computer off.
Stay on target.
Okay.
Anyway, my cell phone's breaking up, so I'll hang up.
All right. Thanks for calling, Andrew. Oh, boy. Hey, anyway, if you want to call in, that number is 214-530-0036.
One at a time.
Oh shit.
Roll for initiative.
Wait. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to use the dad voice.
Let me get my D20. Tell your story, Brita. Quick.
What,
save us.
What story?
Your rage quit story.
No, it's too soon.
Oh.
Too soon. Brita, tell us your favorite weather story.
My favorite weather story. Oh, God. I live in Cleveland. It's all like, you know. Well, there was the blizzard of 1978. And that was, I mean, if you just Google Cleveland blizzard 1978, it's like legendary. Apparently it was like a snow tornado or snow hurricane, or it was crazy. And I was in the hospital having surgery. I was 4 years old. I was in the hospital having surgery, and my mom was in the hospital with me. And I think it was like a day or two after my surgery. And my mom was in the hospital with me, and she said that she told me that the day started out pretty nice. I mean, it was like, you know, cold, but not terrible. And then she heard on the news that there was going to be a lot of snow, and she called my father, and he had heard about the weather coming in too. And she said, "Can you come pick me up from the hospital?" And he said, "No, I'm not coming to pick you up." He's like, "Stay at the hospital. You're safe. You're, you know, and
they have heat,
and they have heat, and you're safe there, and stay with Brita in the hospital." And my mom had decided that she had already spent too many nights with me in the hospital, and she was going to go home, damn it. But my mom was not, she said that she had not been dressed for the weather. And, but she decided to go home anyway. And she gets out to the parking lot, and I mean, there's like, you know, a foot of snow already by the time she was going home. And on top of it, the wheels of the car, the tires of the car, were frozen to the pavement because it had rained first, and then it froze.
Oh,
and then,
nice.
Yeah, the tires were frozen to the pavement. But apparently she asked the guards to help push her out of the parking lot. And she she said that she drove up the, there's like a four lane kind of, like, it's not a highway. It's like a four lane road. It's, you know, maybe like 45, 50 miles an hour from the hospital to our house. And she said that she drove straight up the middle on the way home. And, she said she was scared to death. She made it home, but it was like in the middle of this snow tornado or snow hurricane that we had. It was crazy. And I was 4 years old in the hospital, but that's the big Cleveland snow weather story.
Snowpocalypse.
It really was kind of snowpocalypse.
Yeah, remember when the big storm of
when I was in college, I think it was 1994, I was in college, and it was the coldest temperature I could remember. I was in Kent State, and it was like, we looked at the wind chill, and it was 40 below zero.
Wow. Now,
minus 40.
Is that before or after the bathtub scene?
Oh, my God. It was after.
Okay.
The year after.
Clean shaven is what you said.
It was the year after that. But anyway, so it was 40 below, and I remember that I was hanging out with some friends of mine, and we were coming back from somewhere, and we had to stop for gas. And the vehicle I was in was a converted old mail truck, and it had no heat, and I was sitting on a metal seat, and it was really just fucking cold. And it wasn't snowing or anything. It was just crazy, crazy cold. And I was sitting on the metal seat, and I looked out the car or the mail truck or whatever the hell it was. And I was looking at the cooler of like sodas and Cokes and stuff. And I thought, it's warmer in the fucking cooler than I am in this goddamn mail truck. But yeah, so that's the coldest I can ever remember. It was really, and the pipes froze, and it was ugly.
That's crazy cold.
It is crazy cold.
I remember it was. I remember one morning it was 40 below, and my dad handed me a shovel and said, "Boy, you better get all that snow shoveled so we can get to school on time."
Yeah, I mean, I can't even talk about snow stories because snow here is so common. It's like, oh, it's snowing again, you know, and oh, there's like a foot of snow, but the roads are clear, so nothing's closed. I mean, they don't close anything for snow really here. So it's not, snow is not really a huge issue. It's just when it gets cold, it's, you know, startling. Anyway, and Alan, how warm is it now?
I don't know. I didn't look.
You're not looking.
But we have another caller.
Okay, good.
Area code 360. Hello. Hello.
Is that caller? Me?
Yes, it is.
Ah, okay. Rita?
Yes?
Teaches.
Oh my God. Hi.
Hi.
You're kidding
me. This is the first time I've actually got a chance to talk to you.
This is exciting.
Who
How
is
are
it?
You?
Score Report, bringing people together.
No,
I know. I love the internet.
I missed the name. Who is it?
This is Fishpot. I'll be able to say it.
From IRC.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, the unpronounceable name.
Oh, okay. That guy. Yeah.
Yes.
That guy.
Yeah, me. I heard you complaining that you were getting a bunch of calls from the Washington area. I figured I might as well chime in and represent my home state with some wintertime stories. How many am I allowed to tell?
As many as until we hang up on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we got the hook ready.
The first one that I can think of happened, oh, I guess it would be early 90s, 91, 92, somewhere in there. I was driving my very first car, 1979 Ford Fiesta. It was a Volkswagen Rabbit wannabe. I had studs on all four wheels and the cheapy little cable chains for the front. I was traveling, oh, probably about a good 50 miles. For Christmas dinner. Where I was leaving from, the roads were clear, but I had checked the weather reports to see what was going on, and it was supposed to be all snowy and icy where I was going, and it was all freeway. So I chained up before I left, and I had people pissed off at me because I was going 25 on Interstate 5 in the slow lane. By the time I got halfway there, people had slowed down to about 15, and I'm still doing 25, just pulling along, not thinking anything of it. And I come down off this hill, and I see somebody facing the wrong direction up against the guardrail. And people are looking at me like I'm nuts. The traffic starts slowing down. I eventually get to a point where I'm at a stop, and I manage to look in my rearview mirror, and I see all these little light marks in the pavement behind me. I'm at a dead stop, so I open my door and I look down, and apparently for about the last 5 miles, I've been driving on about 3 inches solid glazed ice.
Uh-oh.
While everybody else was panicking, and I'm passing them up like, you know, I'm still on dry pavement. I've never noticed the change.
Stay in the ruts.
There was no ruts. There was no snow. It was all freezing. It was all freezing rain. The rain came down wet, it hit the ground, and froze solid. It just built up, you know, like 2 or 3 inches of sheet ice.
Wow.
That's scary.
I never noticed the change. I had my, you know, that's what I get for thinking ahead and putting my chains on before I left.
Oh, chains.
Yeah.
See, I don't know anybody who does that. Except
what?
You, apparently. Chains
before you leave?
No, just put chains on in general.
No. And I don't know anybody who does snow tires. That's like unheard of here. You just put tires on your car. It's very strange. Do people actually still put change on? Like today?
It depends. It depends on where you are.
I've had chains on my old inline four Ranger a couple of times, and that, it's pretty fucking awesome.
There's some roads in Colorado, New Mexico, and I'm sure some other places where their chains they won't. There's some roads they won't let you go on unless you have chains.
Yeah, they're required in Quebec.
Interesting.
Yeah, in the Columbia River Gorge, they will actually stop you from going into the gorge when they're having severe weather if you don't have chains. And it'll do the same going over the Coast Range from Portland to the coast. You know, there's a certain section of the freeway. They will not let you go on that freeway during certain times of the year unless you're carrying chains in your car.
Yeah,
my dad tells a great story about him and my mom going out to eat at a nice restaurant, and coming out and finding out there's like, you know, a few feet of snow had fallen since they started eating, and dad having to scoot underneath the car with his sports coat on to put chains on.
And a couple of years after that incident, I had stepped up in cars. I was at that point driving a 73 Dodge Charger, big old bird of a car, 318 two barrel, and it was a similar situation. Freezing rain came down, and I was driving up the freeway coming home from work, and people were stacking up behind one of the sanding trucks, which was spreading gravel on the freeway. The guy ahead of me decided that he didn't want to wait, so he pulls out in front of where the gravel's hitting on the ground, basically drives right through the gravel that's getting sprayed out the back of the truck. And as soon as he got off the gravel that had been scattered, he starts fishtailing. And he's back and forth fishtailing, rear-wheel drive car, I forget what it was, I think it was a pickup truck. As soon as he got off the gravel, boom, his ass end kicks out and he starts fishtailing. The gravel truck shuts off the gravel spreader. It's like one of those giant hand crank fertilizer spreaders that you get for the garden or for your lawn. That's what they use off the back of the truck to spread the gravel. He shuts off the gravel, basically puts it in neutral, coasts to a stop. Meanwhile, this guy is fishtailing. He completely fishtails 360 degrees around the gravel truck, manages to get control after he gets back into the gravel behind the truck. And I look over at him, and he's, you know, big old saucer eyes, white knuckles. The steering wheel was basically bulging out of his grip. I looked at him, and I shook my head, and I just went straight forward because I had, again, studded tires in the back of my car. Went straight forward, went past the truck, and just kept right on driving.
Well, I guess it pays to prepare.
Did you dump the clutch and toss a few studs into his windshield?
Actually, no, I couldn't do that because it was an automatic.
Neutral drop.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people will avoid the hell out of you when you're driving a beat-to-shit 4-ton land barge.
Yep, yep. Jay's made that perfectly clear.
Yep.
Bingo. Right. 1983 Cadillac Coupe de Ville.
Well, all right. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for calling. Thank you. Evil, unpronounceable name.
Yep. So anyway.
Alan, do you have any good weather stories from places that aren't Texas?
You know, it's really funny, but of all the... I know some Texans, you know, because of the internet. And Texans, I swear to God, are like obsessed with weather. I've never known more people who are like obsessed with weather than Texans.
I bet they talk about, will give them a run for the money.
I don't know. It's very strange. They drop below like 50 and they start panicking and they're like posting the weather. And then they post pictures of their radar and links to the weather thing. And it's just very strange. I suppose, you know, if you don't get weather a lot, like when you do get it, it's a big deal. What?
We have weather in Texas.
It's sunny. Oh, it's cloudy today. Oh, it's sunny again.
They got hurricane season where the weather is suddenly blowing Mexicans.
Yeah.
Louisianians.
It's 5 Mexicans an hour here down in South Texas.
I got to go out and shovel the Cajuns.
Oh, shit.
We had topics for today.
Yeah, we did. Actually, my most interesting weather stories come from being in Lubbock, where it's really flat I don't know if anybody's ever been to Lubbock. I'm sure a few people have, but it's very flat. I mean, it's flatter than flat. It's, you know, flat went to Lubbock to take lessons on how to be flat. But it hardly ever rains. So in most places in Lubbock, they didn't bother putting storm drains in. Because what's the point, right? So there was...
What do they have instead?
Ground.
Yeah, ground.
Miles and miles.
Ground. Yeah, there's,
really?
It doesn't rain enough to warrant putting that in. Except, wow. Except every now and then it does. And then you get, like, streets that are 6 inches deep in water. And
you need a rowboat.
And the people get out in the Jeeps and the water skis on the street. I'm not kidding. I've seen it with my own eyes. Freakish.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I've done it in snow, but not in water.
Yeah.
Get a tray from the dining hall.
And the only other fun story I have was it was snowing in Lubbock, and me and a friend of mine were coming back from a bar, heading back to the dorm, and we were in his truck.
You're between your legs?
No. But anyway, we were coming back, and we took a turn in the parking lot, and, you know, instead of turning into the parking lot, we wound up doing like a, you know, 720 spin in the middle of the intersection. And, you know, we were kind of like, you know, at first, and then and the truck stopped, and we kind of looked at each other, and we're like, again. So we pulled around, and we did it again. We did that like 3 or 4 times. And finally, on the other side of the intersection, this cop turns his lights on. And he's like, we're like, oh, fuck. And so he comes over, you know, and he's like, you know, I was going to give you a pass the second time, but damn. He didn't give us a ticket or anything. He just got to, you know, go home.
Quit jacking around
in the street.
I had a cop turn on his lights on me for doing donuts in a parking lot. And he says, "What the hell are you doing?" I says, "I'm doing donuts. What do you think I'm doing?" and that was the end of the discussion. he just went, "Really?" That guy just looked me right in the eye and said that. Yeah. He didn't try to lie his way out of it.
I'm doing donuts.
It's snowing and it's fun.
Yeah.
There's
it's a parking lot.
For miles.
Well, plus
you're
it's
driving a Crown Vic. That'll do it.
Yep.
And as soon as you rolled your window down, he leaned in, ascertained that no, you weren't drunk. Yep. So.
Nope, I wasn't drunk. I was just crazy.
You're just fooling around. We used to do that. I had a buddy with an old Mercury Monarch. With, let's just say a big motor.
Mm-hmm.
And. We used to wait for snowstorms when there'd be nobody else out and test out the posi traction.
yeah, you got to test it, right?
Yeah, for miles. But anyway.
My grandfather used to call that blowing the carbon out.
Yes. Yes, that's an excellent way.
Got to blow the carbon out of the carburetor. Anyway, hey, we got a call.
Yay.
It's Boar Patch.
Yay!
Hello, Boar Patch.
I've driven in the snow with that dude.
Say, what a great show this is.
Are you being facetious?
I think he is.
No, I'm not. This I am enjoying myself immensely. A couple of bourbons doesn't hurt.
No. But,
you know, listening to everybody talk about how much snow they're getting, and the legislature down here in Georgia passed an ordinance to outlaw winter. And so I'm just having a blast. So just calling in to say that. And, you know,
are you calling in to gloat?
I think he is gloating.
No.
I think he is. That's terrible.
Boar Patch, what's the temperature?
Y'all come on down. There's plenty of room.
What's the temperature?
Actually, it's kind of cold right now. It's probably in the 40s.
Oh, Lord.
But it is evening. Of course, we had tornadoes yesterday. So that's
The weather is peaches.
Yep.
Yeah. If your double wide doesn't get blown away.
Yeah, then you're fine. Well, that's what the big trees are for, right?
Yeah. Alan, I have to say that I never really understood what until I all that time out in Texas. And now it's like when it gets hot here in Georgia, it's like, yeah, that's kind of
weird. Yeah. Yeah, because the... Right. The heat in, well, you know, you got humid heat in Florida, but it's not, you know, it's not that hot. And then you got the dry heat in Phoenix where it's hot, but, you know, it's like, you know, 10% humidity. So, you know,
I remember we had a blog shoot and I took a picture of the thermometer in the Jeep when I turned it on because we got it walked out in the shade from the over, you know, the covered firing position. It's like, holy cow, it's hot. This is mid-afternoon by then, and it's like 112 or something, just nuts.
Outside?
It's like, that's a dry heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's damn hot.
So is my oven. What's your point?
Yeah, at 112, it doesn't matter. It's just hot.
I'm guessing at this temperature, I could leave a brisket out and come back, and it would be about done.
Well, I'll tell you what, you put a cast iron skillet out in the sun on a day like that, and you can cook dang near anything you want to in it.
Anyway, just wanted to say it's awesome. You guys are clearly enemies of the state for running something like this. But
yeah, he's had a drink or two.
It's okay. They're going to come after. They're only going to come after us with patrol rifles or personal defense rifles.
Ooh, and that's a great segue, Jay. Thanks for calling, Board Pat.
Thanks, Alan.
Hey, I'm saving you a place on the bench in the camps.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll be there soon enough.
Yep.
I'm going to climb into the furnaces where it's warm.
So one of the other topics we had the. There's, you know how you got these definitions, right? You know, there's all kinds of weird, bizarro definitions of, you know, everybody's trying to couch the conversation. You know, anytime there's a big political thing, it's all about the definitions, and the person with the best definition wins. And so far, we've had this made-up definition called the assault weapon, which is, you know, completely bullshit. There's no such thing. It's like,
no,
you know, the assault weapon is these evil parts that we don't know what the fuck they do, but we don't like them.
And that shoulder thing that goes up.
Right, right. These.
Well, the thing that bothers me about assault weapon is that assault is like an action.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like calling a knife a stabbing knife, you know, or a...
Yes.
This is my walking shoe, or this is my sitting couch. You know, it's like, yeah. It's like a descriptive kind of active kind of descriptive word. And if
just
my
so you know,
gun is sitting in the closet and it's unloaded and it happens to be an evil black rifle, but it's not doing anything, it's not assaulting anyone, therefore not an assault weapon. That's the thing that bothers me, the language thing. It drives me crazy. It's like,
well, never,
you know,
fear.
Yes.
Because we have a new definition.
Oh, do we?
Yes, the Homeland Security.
That's right.
According to this is the official government word, and you know, they're the bottom line, right? They are now and henceforth personal defense weapons.
Okay, really?
Yeah, the Homeland Security.
Who's allowed to have them? For
well, the Homeland Security has ordered. They put out a request for 7,000 AR-15s and matching 30-round clips. Suitable for personal defense use in close quarters. And,
really?
And the line item calls them personal defense weapons.
Oh, these aren't AR-15s either. They're asking for select fire in that document.
Oh, yes, it is. It is select fire. So this is full on, you know. So according to the Homeland Defense, you know, the perfect defensive weapon, personal defensive weapon for use in close quarters, which would be like your house, is a select fire AR pattern rifle.
Hmm.
So
this actually reminds me of a conversation I had. Was as many know, I'm quite the IRC geek, and
yes.
So and I'm also a gun nut. So even though, you know, only one of my the IRC channels that I lurk in is specifically devoted to the gun hobby. People know what I do and what I enjoy, and of course,
wait. There's more than one IRC channel.
Yes.
Okay. Yes,
I believe this was one of my NetHack channels, and there's a few people on that channel that are gunnies as well, and we were talking about various way. You know, one of them had just bought an AR-15 and was talking about what gear to get for it and this, that, and another thing, and what were good brands and yada yada yada. We were just talking shop, and someone chimed in and said, you know, what the hell do you guys need with an assault rifle like that? And I said, oh, it's not an assault rifle. You know, assault rifles need to be select fire. And he goes, I'm sorry, assault weapon. And I said, this is a couple of years ago, so we weren't talking about bans and all that. So I said, there's not really anything such thing as an assault weapon anymore either, because the ban expired, so they don't really exist anymore either. And he goes, well, what would you call an AR-15? And I said, a rifle. And that pretty much ended the discussion. He just did not grasp that an AR-15 is indeed just a rifle.
Yep. It is just a rifle.
I mean, it's an AR-15, and an AR-15 is a rifle.
Yep.
You know, there's no. It's not an assault weapon. It's not an assault rifle. It's not a, you know, evil black rifle. It's not even a modern sporting rifle. It certainly sure as fuck isn't a personal defense weapon. It's just a rifle. Now, if you're using it for personal defense, I guess at the time it's your personal defense weapon. And I guess if you were assaulting some people, it could be an assault rifle or, you know, assault weapon. But just it on its own, it's really ain't a whole lot of anything. I mean, if you're shooting targets with it, it's a target rifle.
Yeah, and the funny thing, the thing I find amusing about the whole thing is it's like the hyperventilating insanity over people. They're like, oh my god, these things are sprayed, you know, for spray and death. You know, and it's just
that's why we give them to cops.
Yeah, the amount of cluelessness involved, because, you know, I've always poo-pooed the AR-15 as kind of being a weak round. I mean, it's not. I mean, other than shooting targets,
the AR-15 isn't a round, Alan.
Well, the 5.56, the 223 caliber, the AR-15 fires a relatively weak round. It's not a. You know, it's not a 308. It's not God's caliber, right? It's a.
That's why
my go-to rifle's an FAL.
Right, but you know what I mean. It's not a spraying death.
Yeah,
thing. It's unless you're like woodchucks or something. I mean, it's
prairie
not.
Dogs.
Yeah, prairie dogs.
That's a
even
great
my
job.
FAL, you know, isn't spraying death because that shit's expensive.
Varmints and stuff.
A lot of states won't let you hunt deer with it because it's not
powerful. Because it's not powerful enough, right. The same ones that won't let you hunt them with a .22.
Because they're both .22s.
Right.
That was a big thing that turned me on to being a gun nut, was I actually started looking at the ballistics for .30-06, which is pretty much the standard issue Bubba rifle, you know.
For deer hunting, right.
In Maine, I mean, everyone's got, you know, a 30-06 bolt action that's their deer gun.
Yep.
And I noticed that, holy shit, 30-06 is a pretty stout round, and 223,
not so much.
Really all that stout around, but nope. Suddenly, you know, or 7.62 by 39.
Not.
Really not all that powerful.
Nope.
You know, I'm not saying I'm going to put on a catcher's mitt and go down range, but
yeah,
but it certainly ain't shit compared to, you know, a 12 gauge slug. But those things are all finest kind, and even Biden says that, you know, double barrels really what's going to do a whole lot of damage. Hence the reason why we need to ban
his
a gun.
Entire that, security details turning in their machine guns for double barrel shotguns.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? We got a caller.
Hey, caller.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Roadkill.
Yeah, I know.
Roadkill!
I wasn't going to say your name in case it was your buddy.
Oh.
But.
Well, the entire PDW thing is something I've really been interested in because, you know, it really got off the ground. The concept, there's actually a real concept on it. It's not, they didn't call it back in the day. They just, they looked for things that were better than handguns that second line people could use in the military. And so they got the M1 carbine.
Right.
Which was kind of weak, but it was handy and fast and light and everyone could use it. And it's still a great defensive rifle.
Yep.
And they've tried and they've tried to make things that are better, that are still that kind of sub caliber, you know, like the P90 and H&K's weird crap, and it just doesn't work. The next best thing, of course, well, actually, the better thing is an AR. So, still yep. kind of a weak, puny round.
Yeah, but you know, it's the nice thing about the AR is it's easy to shoot. There's not much recoil. Just about anybody can shoot one. I mean, even little kids can shoot them, which drives the gun grabbers insane.
Yeah, okay. but women can't shoot them though.
Yeah, they can.
Not according to Carolyn
McCarthy said women can't shoot ARs.
Oh,
so ladies, just so you know, that's not an AR you're shooting.
Hmm.
It can't be. That's impossible.
I really like 30-06.
I thought you liked 308, Brita.
Yeah, Brita likes recoil.
I like recoil.
30-06 is pretty awesome. You can hand load some pretty fucking crazy ass rounds to that.
She needs an AR in 375 H mag.
I keep waiting for Wally to make one.
He should. That would be awesome.
I'm surprised he hasn't.
I don't think he's got time.
Right now.
He can't make enough 223 and 300 blackout guns to slack the market, let alone get to these people that obviously weren't hugged enough when they were little to saying, "Hey, Wally, can you make me an AR in 460 Weathery Magnum?"
Yeah. I want an AR in a 4-bore.
I want an AR in 4570.
Yeah.
I want an AR in 41 pinfire.
Oh.
A cap and ball AR.
Hey, Cemetery's gun blog. He's done black powder AR.
Oh. Yeah, it didn't work too well. It kind of clogs up the gas tube all the
time. Yeah, like instantly.
Oops. So what's the weather like there, Roadkill?
What's the weather like? It's kind of flat out. I'm worried about my wife getting home in one piece. But, you know, I'm sure it'll be okay. Yes. You know, we had some snow, and it just kind of, it was clear and warm earlier, and I look out the window, and hey, the ground is covered in snow. And,
surprise and, snow.
Looks sick.
Yeah, we get a lot of surprise snow here.
Like in March.
Yeah, still first. Still
shit,
this week was nice. We had I had the nice auto shoveling snow. As I woke up and went, "Oh, there's some snow on my driveway." And I went and looked at the weather and went, "Oh, it's going to be 60 on Wednesday. I'm all set."
Yeah, fuck
that's
it.
To you.
I don't need a shovel.
Oh, and by the way, this was winter storm. What was the name of the winter storm?
Luna.
Yeah, Winter what? Storm Luna.
You gotta be kidding me.
They're naming storms
like,
now?
Nothing like, yeah, naming a storm that I took care of with a fucking broom.
That's crazy.
That is really weird. They're naming snowstorms now.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is a sure sign that there's not enough shit going on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
They're reaching. Oh, yes, let's make this seem as worse as it can be so we have something to talk about.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I was thinking back. I was trying to remember that we had a fairly nasty blizzard up in Maine. It was in February of, I mean, around probably 93, 94, somewhere around there. And that was pretty cool because we got like 3.5 feet over the course of the night, and two of those feet we got in 2 hours. So I remember sitting there. We had a sliding glass door, and I remember just sitting there looking at the sliding glass door and watching it fill up like we were inside some sort of, like, you know, salt mine conveyor. Just the world was filling up with snow. But that didn't have a name. And you know what? If someone wanted to name that, you know, I'd say that was a pretty nasty storm. Go ahead and name it. But when there's these mild mouse farts of a storm come through, and they want to name them, really?
Yeah.
You know, why don't they call light rainstorm with a little bit of fog, you know, Joni.
Joni. And Chachi.
I'm on the edge of Tornado Alley, and I think we're actually getting more into the full Tornado Alley here in western Kentucky. Are they going to start trying to name tornadoes?
Because God, I hope not.
Yeah. I'm surprised they don't already.
Nah, there's too many. They couldn't think up enough names for all of them.
Oh, but they got that awesome tornado category system. It's an F4!
Yeah.
Like, you expected to have big spoilers and open wheels, you know?
What they do name, though, they name them after the fact based on which city they wiped out.
If they name tornadoes, they should take the list of congressmen from the past. Each tornado would be named after congressmen.
Tornado Gary Studs.
Good one.
Tornado Kennedy. It was big and fat. It liked to drown people.
Tornado Gary Studs. It was really fucking gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So, hey, there was another topic.
Okay.
And this one's crawled up my butt for the last week.
Pixar didn't happen.
I know. I'm trying not to think about that.
All these sheriffs that are making all these announcements that they won't enforce. I'm not going to enforce an unconstitutional law. Well, you know, in my opinion, that's just political bullshit. Because first off, who's going to decide if it's unconstitutional or not? Second off, they're talking about these, you know, I'm not going to enforce an unconstitutional law. And my first response, every time I see one of these on Facebook, and my first response is, so they're not going to enforce the GCA,
NFA.
The NFA and FOPA, right? Oh, imagine that.
And so, they're going to start arresting TSA agents.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't buy it. I mean, these sheriffs can announce whatever they want. But, okay, but here's the thing. Do you really want your sheriff deciding himself what he's going to enforce or not enforce? I mean, yeah, sure, the law he's choosing not to enforce now happens to be one you don't like. But what happens when, you know, next week when he decides he's going to enforce another one you don't like because he likes it? You know, I mean, you really don't want these guys choosing, you know, what they're – I just think it's a bad – it's a bad precedent. What I'd like to see is what we're seeing in states like Wyoming and Arizona, where they're actually introducing bills in the state legislature that say, you know, any gun laws past this date, which is a clear demarcation, you know, you don't have to worry. You don't have to decide, you know.
Well,
you
isn't it kind of like a more politically correct way? Well, not really. Any of it's politically correct considering the environment. But kind of a different way of saying, I really don't want my constituents to shoot my ass.
Yeah,
so
pretty
I'm
much.
This is unconstitutional because there's a lot more of them than there are of us. They have better guns than we do. Follow what you guys say. Pardon my
French. That's right.
We've got assault
weapons. All they have are friggin' patrol riders.
Ours are more deadly.
It's also a good way to shoot that dipshit mem that law enforcement are 100% behind these bans.
Yeah, they're not.
Because it's always, you know, chiefs of police. That's just like, you know, listening to, you know, these soldiers support this military action. Well, they have to support this military action.
Yeah, you told them to. Yeah, it's like the old, you know, the old military thing where it's illegal to obey an illegal order. Well, gee, you know, who's going to decide? You know, you're screwed either way. If your commanding officer comes down and tells you to do this illegal thing, you know, you're fucked at that point, because you either refuse to obey the law, which, you know, it, you know, screws you, or you do it and they come back later on and go, well, you know, I was following orders, not a defense.
Even though that guy that was giving you the orders had guns and a bunch of people behind him with guns.
Exactly. Doesn't matter.
You know, you should have told them to fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what you're screwed. There's no, you know, they can prattle on about this whole, you know, hey, it's illegal to ban, you know, but, you know, when the rubber meets the road, you get in those situations, you're just screwed. And that's going to happen, you know, with this unconstitutional law stuff. You know, they're going to, somebody's, you know, if the feds persist in this crap, somebody's going to, you know, wind up in a firefight somewhere. And
well, it's already happened. I mean, all the, you know, well, Waco was that not just a basic huge firefight?
Well, that's exactly what it was. Only the state stood back and said, yeah, whatever.
Waco is not a firefight.
I was pretty sure there was a fire there.
Yeah. Waco was a massacre.
Well, yeah, but
firefight implies that they were shooting back.
They did.
Yeah, eventually.
Not anywhere near as much as the other side did.
Bullshit.
But technically, they did at least shoot back a little bit.
You give me one fucking believable report that they were shooting back, and I mean something that doesn't come from the fucking government.
Well, they
lied to us about the fucking FBI using incendiary devices.
After the initial assault by the ATF, they did fire back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
sorry, they were too busy burning to death.
That was days later. That was yeah, after weeks of standoff.
I got to agree. I mean, there's I watched the live video of the officers trying to enter through the second story windows and rolling back from the gunfire, and it was pretty obvious that they weren't shooting at the roof in front of them.
Yeah. But the problem there was is the, you know, the, I don't know, the feds went all fed on them, which is what they do.
My beautiful wife is home, so I am going to let you guys go. And
okay, Roadkill. Thanks for calling.
You have to stay on the line until his wife made it home safe.
Aww. Hey, we got more callers.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is Dennis.
No way.
Yes, hey, way. Hi, Dennis.
Yes, way. Hi, folks.
Hi, Dennis. Hi, Brita. How are you?
Yeah, I know that you know this, dude. Yeah, Alan, I'm just listening, and I hear what you said about these states passing the laws as opposed to the sheriffs going, we're just not going to enforce this.
Right.
The flip side to the states passing the laws saying from this date forward, the demarcation line, from this date forward, any law that gets passed or gets signed after this date, it's not enforceable in the state. That's all fine and well, but is the state going to come to, how can I put it? Is the state going to come to the aid of all the FFLs?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. You know. I mean, they can say this stuff all day long, but, you know, when it gets to the feds rolling in and busting heads, are they going to, you know, like, for instance, the law in Wyoming and the one in Arizona both say that, by the way, none of these have actually passed and been signed by a governor. But, you know, the law actually says that the state attorney general shall defend any individual who is caught up by the feds in these laws. And, you know, I'm afraid a lot of this is just posturing because, when push comes to shove, will they really do that? And will they defend the FFLs that don't follow the laws? You know, I don't know.
You know, if an FFL doesn't do what the federal regulations state, the ATF will come in because as an FFL, you have no Fourth Amendment right. You have no Fifth Amendment right. Those are waived. Those are gone.
Well, in your business, you don't.
well, yeah, in the business. For FFLs like me, who, you know, are just starting out and who run that business out of your domicile.
Yeah, you're screwed.
I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Pardon the French. I shouldn't have said that over the air. But, you know, you're screwed. You got to do what the ATF says. Otherwise, they're going to come in. They're going to seize everything at that address.
You know what, though, Dennis? If they get pissed off at you, they're going to do it anyway, and they'll find something to pin on you. And if they decide fuck you, you're fucked, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Absolutely. I mean, it is bad enough where if you don't write legibly enough, they can fine you for the things they can't read properly in your A&D book. I mean, you know, it's really that they can get that nitpicky about it.
And if they still can't find anything, they'll make something up and lie about it.
Well, that I can't say yes or no because I haven't experienced it firsthand.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
They will.
But, you know, the whole thing about, you know, the sheriff's going, we won't enforce this against our citizens, that's one thing. But the state putting, like you said, that line in the sand saying, not going to happen.
Yeah, are the state troopers going to line up against the ATF or the FBI and get into a gunfight with them, trying to arrest them? I mean, really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that. I think that, like you said, when push comes to shove, the state's just going to step back and go, sorry, guys.
Yeah, they'll find some excuse to say that didn't count or something.
Right, or that's not what we meant, or, you know, the wording of the law is such that blah, 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 you know,
right.
So on and so forth. And now just for folks here, just a little story. There's a friend of mine up in New York, the state that I left, who has been trying to divest himself of firearms. And he has been going through the hardest time trying to get rid of that which is soon going to be illegal.
Why is he having such a hard time?
Well,
I would think he'd find lots of people to buy stuff like that.
Well, one particular thing is not so much the long arms, but with the pistols, even though ATF, the federal law and the ATF regulations state that anybody in any state can sell and ship to an FFL any firearm. As long as the FFL is the receiver of the shipment,
right,
any person is allowed to ship. That is federal law.
Right.
Every gunny knows it inside and out. Okay? But in the state of New York, if you divest yourself of a pistol, you've got to have a certain piece of paperwork that only New York FFLs have that they fill out saying this pistol was surrendered, and then you take that to your licensing office, and then they go, okay, you no longer have this, and it's in the possession of an FFL who is now going to either sell it, pass it on to another buyer in another state or whatever. Without that piece of paper, you're still liable for that gun, and that gun does not come off your license.
Wow. That sucks.
How do you like that?
I'm just trying to figure out how big my license would be. Hold on. I'm going to use it to go wind gliding.
Yeah. Well, actually, the pistol license is about it's the size of a credit card. It's a little piece of plastic, size of a credit card. The front has all your vital information. The back lists all your pistols. I've seen people in New York who have like 9 or 10 of them.
Wow.
You know, because it only fit about 7 or 8 on the back of one, because the printing is very small, like 5-point font, you know. But I've seen people with 8-10 licenses, you know, copies of a license, and it just lists pistol after pistol after pistol. You know, and it's a registry. It's all it is. But he's having the hardest time getting rid of his handguns because only New York FFLs have that paperwork, because a New York FFL not only has to have a federal license, but New York State issues an FFL license to the FFL. You cannot operate unless you carry a set of A&D books for the state along with federal.
So if you
live, a lot of people don't know that.
If you live in...
What's that?
Well, I'm just trying to think around. Yeah, there is, given that kind of regulatory structure, there's no way to legally get rid of a gun unless it goes through... Unless you give it to an FFL first.
That's, yes, if you're going to remain a resident of New York. Now, the funny thing is, you can leave New York, you can move out of state and take your guns with you, and that's fine.
Right.
Okay? You just, you know, because you're leaving, okay, bye-bye, and they'll tax you on the way out, you know, the exiting the state tax.
Wow.
New York tax you? No way. Come on, it's crazy talk.
New York, people up in New York are having a hard time getting rid of some of their firearms.
And think about that. Anytime somebody says, we need to close the gun show loophole, that's exactly what they're talking about implementing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, that's my two cents for your program tonight.
Great.
You have a very good evening, folks.
Thanks for calling, Dennis.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean the same thing goes to here in Massachusetts is there's no, I mean, we don't have the listing on our license, but we've got the state registry, and unless you sell the gun within the state of Massachusetts where they update the registry and suddenly point a new owner, but if you say if I sold one of my guns, let's say I sold one of my handguns to Dennis. Well, there's not going to be any Massachusetts paperwork that actually says that I no longer own that gun. And so in the event that, they decide to do a confiscation or some sort of bullshit like that, suddenly I still have that gun on paper. And
right.
What the hell happens to that?
They're going to beat on you until you tell them where you buried it.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to assume that I've got it tucked in my safe, or it's buried under my floorboard, or
yep.
Or I sold it to some crackhead in Southie.
Yep.
Yeah. What do you think you are, the ATF?
Because you did.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is also totally a fabrication because there's no crackheads in Southie.
Yeah. So we got more callers. Apparently, hey. This is like caller show, which is great. Area code 516, hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys? It's Glenn B. from Long Island.
Hey, Glenn B.
Go ahead. I know that dude, too.
How you doing, dude? How's everything?
Good, Glenn. What's happening? Another New Yorker.
Yeah, that's me. You can tell by the way I'm talking. Somebody just said a little while ago that... you're not sure if you want sheriff's departments, the sheriffs or police officers, whatever, law enforcement officers, making the decision whether or not something is a law that they're going to enforce. But that is exactly what you do want in certain cases. Because if that had happened at Waco, if 20 or 30 or 40 or even 10 officers would have turned around and said, we're not doing this, it may not have come down the way it did. Ruby Ridge never would have happened had Len Herucci or whatever the heck his name was turned around and said, shoot to kill with no provocation? That's the order. You do it, Mr. Herucci. And that's exactly what he did. He did it. He shot somebody with absolutely no provocation at that moment. He was not under threat at all. And he shot and he killed someone. The same thing goes at the Danziger Bridge down in New Orleans. You had... Even worse, you had police violate the law down in pretty. They had to pretty much knowingly violate the law.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was an iffy situation. Well, that's the same thing actually at Ruby Ridge. That FBI agent, in my opinion, absolutely had to know he was violating the law, as did his supervisor.
Oh, they don't
and
care.
But there are people that do care. I was in law enforcement for 32 years. I cared. I know plenty of other guys that cared. Hopefully not going to be embroiled in it any longer because I'm retired. But while I was still working, I was embroiled in a mega lawsuit against Immigration and Customs Enforcement because they went out and they violated persons' right. The next person's right, in these mega raids that they were doing, and they no arrest warrants. They were going out to arrest people saying, we don't need warrants from a judge. We're going to make up administrative warrants. Where my boss signs off on it. Now I have an arrest warrant. Think about that.
That falls under what I was saying, where you don't want them picking, what they want to enforce.
Well, no, you see, but you do want the ones who say, hey, wait a minute, That's a violation of the Constitution. And I'm sworn to uphold and protect and support the Constitution.
Yeah, but the
and I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do what's wrong. I'm not going to blindly enforce what my supervisors and my managers and politicians tell me that I have to do when I know it's wrong. And that's what you want. You want those officers. You want it to start at the grassroots level as far as police go and say, this is wrong, I'm not going to do it. Then, if those cops were wrong later on and the law is sound constitutional, they can be fired. They can have their pay suspended for 6 months, whatever, you know. But if they go the other way and they do it and they're wrong, what happened at the Danziger Bridge? Those cops were all convicted, not of murder, I don't know how, but I guess it was manslaughter. At least one of them is doing 65 years for that. And I think all the other ones got jail time. You know, which way do you want it to go? I would rather have the sheriff's department saying, screw the federal government, we're not going to enforce this, and hopefully that they do it.
Well, that's the problem. You're just hoping they do it.
Well, you're hoping that they do it, and I would hope that they do it and that it doesn't wind up like a civil war with Fed sending in troops or something like that and saying, we're going to arrest all the SFLs, and they say, no, you're not, and, you know, shots get fired back and forth, something like that. That would be a sad day in our history if it happens. But I would hope that, for instance, in Utah, my understanding is that every sheriff's department but one, and I think it was around 20 sheriff's departments or something like that, has said that they will not enforce that law in the state of Utah. Good for them. Maybe a few other states will go, you know, gung-ho at it that way. And the federal government is going to really have to step back and think about it. States like New York, we're lost. We've lost the battle up here.
Part of the problem with that kind of thing is you know, especially in the house in the South, there's a long history of cops ignoring the law for some people and enforcing it on others. In fact, there was the big problem of integrating the schools in Little Rock, where they had to call in the National Guard because the state police were not going to do, you know, their jobs to let the schools integrate. So, you know, at that point, you've got exactly what you're talking about, where you had the cops saying, I think this is wrong and I'm not going to enforce the law. So what happens? You know, who decides what's right and what's wrong?
But it can happen both ways is what I'm saying. And it should happen in a way that supports the Constitution, because that's what they're sworn to uphold.
Then you get into that problem that I was talking about before. Yeah, you're sworn to uphold the Constitution, but you know, you're talking about these guys that, you know, it's their jobs on the line, it's their paycheck. The boss says, "Hey, you need to go out here and do this," and he's like, "Well, shit, I think that's wrong, but damn, I don't want to lose my job." You know.
Yeah, but there are many who will do what they're supposed to, who will do what's right. Let me put it to you that way. There are many, I think, who will do what's right, especially if they're the problem is standing behind them.
Well, I think that's a nice idea, but I'm going to push back and say that given history, I don't expect that to really happen. And it hasn't happened much in the past.
Well, it doesn't have to happen much. I'm hoping that...
If it does happen, you'll see those cops get fired, whereas Officer Royd Rage got let back on in Canton.
You know what happens a lot? That cops shoot them on a full basis, and they're fired, and you never hear of them. So, you know, they did something right, and they wind up getting fired anyway.
Oh, well, I'm sure it happens, but, you know. I really don't want to put my life, I don't want to bet my life on expecting a cop to decide that something's unconstitutional and fight the feds. I think that's a losing proposition.
I think if enough states agreed on it, I think it would be a losing proposition for the feds. I really do. And I was a federal agent for 32 years, and I think that the federal government would wind up losing out, because if enough states support it, enough federal agents are going to wind up supporting it too. We're just banging sick that day. I'm not coming to work.
Well, better that than another civil war, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a thing I see is, you know, what happens if it, you know, comes down to these, you know, door-to-door confiscation stories and all that in places like New York and all of that. And, you know, what if one of the one of the people there says, look, man, these are my guns. This is my lawful property. I have a right to my property. You know, don't you dare enter my house because you'll be trespassing. I mean, the question of legality at that point is a moot point. The question is, are the cops willing to lay it down on the line for a questionable law when they think that they might not be able to go home? I mean, already we've got it, maybe it's a little bit on the bad side of cops not responding to 911 calls if somebody calls from a really shitty neighborhood. Cops say, no, fuck that. I'm not, this is a minor disturbance of the peace call. I'm not going in there because they shoot at cops.
I don't know how it's going to go. I'm just hoping it goes the right way.
Well, I hope so too.
Well, I think it's going to. I mean, they're already pulling up their tent stakes on the assault weapons ban. I mean, we'll see. They're probably going to double down on magazines, and I think they've definitely got some potential ground to cover. Well, I mean, we'll see once a bill actually gets introduced on banning private sales. But I think banning AR-15s, I think that shit just isn't going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either.
They look like they're trying to hitch their wagon to the universal background check stuff.
Yeah, I think that's our biggest threat.
Yeah,
I think so too.
But again, the big thing is that it's looking like our biggest threat right now because they don't have a single bill drafted. And,
right.
You know, Obama was talking about, I can get 50% of the people to stand behind me. Well, you can get 50% of the people to stand behind you if you talk about, if you're talking about hopes and dreams, if you're talking about, we'll get rid of all these, people selling guns out of the trunk of their car to drug dealers and all of that stuff. You know, that sort of thing is, I mean, everyone who knows the issue knows that that's just bullshit. That's already illegal. And that's and any proposition of a law about that is bullshit. What they're trying to say is that, hey, if you want to give your wife or your son or your daughter a gun for Christmas, suddenly you have to waddle on over to a gun shop. Or if you die and your family's divvying up your estate, you've got an old rifle in the attic. Suddenly that thing needs you need to go through a whole bunch of extra paperwork for that. Or hell, just that, a buddy says, I'm heading out of town, would you mind locking my gun up in your safe just because it's valuable and I don't trust my house while I'm gone. Yep. Or hell, I'm going to go, I just got an opportunity to go duck hunting and I don't have a duck hunting gun. Would you mind, can I borrow your Auto 5? That's a perfect gun for duck hunting. I don't have one and I don't feel like buying one just for a one-time hunt.
Hey, thanks for calling, Glenn. That was a great call.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Great show. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. Bye.
Yeah, that's a good point, Weird. These people making the laws are not gun people, so they don't understand what they're saying when they say stuff like that. Oh, yes, yeah. We need to eliminate the gun loophole. They either don't understand or they know exactly what the fuck they're doing. It's one of the two.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is once a bill actually gets drafted, suddenly I think support's going to start drying up because, let's talk about like the most warm, squishy, fuddiest of gun stories is, I went out to Colorado. Here I live in New England where, pretty much you can't look 100 yards without bumping into a stand of trees. So I don't have anything that's designed for Colorado type territory where you can look into the next county.
Yeah.
And I just said, hey, I want to shoot some prairie dogs. You got some prairie dogs you want shot, but I need to borrow a rifle. So farm mom said, here, take my rifle, kill some fucking prairie dogs. I'll be glad to see him gone. I would assume. Again, no bill's been drafted, but I would assume that would suddenly become a felony because,
Of course.
She, Farm mom wasn't standing over my shoulder at this hunt. She was doing other things, but I had her rifle in my hands. You know, and what is the fucking harm in that?
And you've got dozens of rifles at your house, legally owned, that are more powerful. But because you borrowed one for a very limited time, you're in trouble.
Yep.
And so you should go to an FFL, drop, let's say, $25 to have it transferred to you for the afternoon. So all it's going to do is cost you money again.
It's just about money. And then another $25 so I can give it back with my thanks.
Right. So it's a $50 proposition. Well, it's like here in Massachusetts, we've got – it used to be called the FA-10 form. It's to report a transfer or registration. Whenever you get a new firearm, you have to file this form with the state. There are folks who insist if you change a caliber, I've got a .22 conversion for my 6R P226. There are folks who interpret the law that every time I put the .22 barrel on, I have to file a new form.
And they've got a good point because it's got everything about the gun on it. So let's say I've got an old gun that's, you know, essentially bare metal, you know, it's in the white, and I decide to have it nickel plated.
Yep.
Suddenly that goes from, you know, blued or bare metal or, you know, whatever the hell you registered it as, and right. Suddenly now it is nickel plated. Well, that's different. Do I need to change the registration? Changing the caliber. The caliber is in there. The barrel length is in there. If I want to cut a 28-inch shotgun down to 19 inches, do I need to change that?
Well, and I think historical precedent shows us that if a law can be interpreted the worst possible way for the person charged, they will.
Yeah, and of course, also that's, you know, you get into selective enforcement. As right. I actually had a surprisingly good discussion with somebody. The gun topic didn't even come up, but this person's very, very anti-gun. But I think we were talking about like the TSA or something, and they dropped the, well, if you've got nothing to hide, what are you concerned about?
Not that.
And
one.
I said to her, everyone has something to hide.
That's,
you know,
right.
And I cited that average of 5 felonies a day. And she said, well, if everyone's committing 5 felonies a day, what's the point of it? I said, the exact point is that they're not going to enforce all the felonies. They're just going to pick the felonies they want to enforce at that exact time.
Right.
Suddenly that weird beard guy is, yep. You know, is rocking the boat and pissing people off. Suddenly they're going to dig in and realize, oh my God, I've got, you know, I drove with the snow tires on the wrong type of road, or I mowed my lawn at the wrong period of time and I'm breaking the law, and all these other, you know.
Your lobster was too short.
Well, you know, I was reading an article, I can't remember what it was, but apparently there was some, the Justice Department, where they played a game, which was, you know, come up with something to pin on this person. You know, I mean, the reality is, it's not law enforcement, it's people enforcement. And if you get into their sights, if they want to get you, they will find something to do it. And it doesn't matter who you are. You can be as squeaky clean as you think you are, and you're still committing a felony, because they will find something to pin on you, and you're screwed. Because what are you going to do? You're going to bankrupt yourself trying to fight it, or are you going to plea down?
Right.
You know, they'll throw millions of dollars at some doofus that they want to pin on something. They don't care. It's not their money.
Yep. They taught us that in driver's ed. I don't know if that's a universal driver's ed thing, but my driver's ed class was pretty much just saying, you know, if a cop wants to pull you over, they'll pull you over. They'll say, oh, he drifted a little bit over the, you know, over the yellow line, or he was driving erratically, whatever the fuck that means,
yep.
or Oh, it looked like he was paying too much attention to his radio, so it was distracted driving.
Yep.
I shit you not, I've been pulled over for my license plate being too dirty. I shit you not.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Well, your license plate's a little dirty and we couldn't read it. So I'm like, it's Saturday night at 9 o'clock. You're doing a drunk check. Just level with me. Come on.
Well, yeah, they do that. Everybody knows it. Hey, let's take, we got one last call.
Awesome.
And I want to hear Brita's rage quit. If Brita's
yes, rage quit.
We just lost her.
Oh.
Hey, area code 360, hello.
Yes, is that me again?
Yes, it is. Me again?
I normally, this is Fishstock again.
Oh, okay.
Normally, I wouldn't call it again, but I have to go back a little bit to the Waco thing. I was chomping at the bit. I dialed as fast as I could, but I've been waiting. There was, in fact, a very serious firefight at Waco. The Branch Davidians actually fought the ATF to a standstill, had them in a crossfire. The ATF ran out of ammunition, and the Branch Davidians let them walk. They were rewarded by being burned alive inside their compound.
Well, that's because they
were... If you want to know the whole story, there's a book called Send In the Waco Killers by Vin Saprinowick. That will tell you everything you need to know.
Well, there you go.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thanks.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Oh, we got to get Brita back.
Yeah, she's complaining that her ears are hurting.
It's from the microphone.
Yeah. I think we lost her for good. Anyway, we're about done. Nah, the rage quit thing. She was carrying on. Rob Pincus sent out an email and she replied about it, how it was spam.
Dear industry professional.
Yeah, she and one of her Facebook followers took offense to that and unfriended her, and not only unfriended her but told her he was unfriending her.
Well, she had asked about that, so at least he was listening there.
I call that heckling.
Yeah.
You call that what?
Heckling. It was heckling. Oh, all right. Well, I think we're done.
Hey, Jay, what year is your truck?
2007.
Don't heckle me!
Good one, Weird. And don't be putting E15 in it either.
Yeah, no shit, man. I've actually seen a bunch of bulletins from Harley Owners Group about that exactly. They're like, go out of your way to find gas that does not have E15 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Heck, even, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen anything that wasn't at least E10 in forever. I don't know.
In Massachusetts, it's illegal to sell non-E10.
Yeah, I don't know of anywhere where you can get something that's not E10, which is a big problem because even E10, a lot of engines, like, you know, like your lawnmowers and stuff, really just it chews the shit out of them.
Well, also what's bad this time of year is that, you know, people, you know, someone was actually talking about, you know, oh, I heard that actually E10, you know, that the ethanol blends will actually dry out your gas line, and I'm like, I get where that's coming from, but it's one of those when you buy a can of dry gas, that's essentially, you know, ethanol or methanol or, you know, it's an alcohol and all that, but that stuff's you know formulated and sealed in a bottle so that it is completely anhydrous, and when you dump it into your gas line, it allows that water to come out to go into solution and get burnt, you know, sent out your tailpipe. And that's, you know, that's good if you've got water in your gas tank. But now suddenly when you're putting ethanol, mixing ethanol and gasoline, and you're dumping it into these big underground tanks, any little bit of drop of water, all that is going to go into solution with the gasoline, or some of the water is going to go into solution with the gasoline, and then it's going to go into your engine.
Yep. And so guess what? There's always water in those things.
There's water, there's dirt, there's shit. I mean, they're the worst. They're the worst things in the world. The last thing you want is to is to is to do, you know, have a near empty tank and do a full fill up on a tank that's, you know, they're waiting for the tanker to show up to refill them, because you're going to be filling up with, you know,
yeah,
15 gallons of gas and a gallon and a half of sand.
Yep.
But the and so, you know, you're getting all this water in there, and then, you know, get these nasty cold snaps, and you're going to suddenly get some of that water coming out, and it's going to be building up all over the place. It's bad news.
Yep.
And so then suddenly it's going back to the carbureted days when I can't get to work today because my car just won't start.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and not to mention the whole, you know, burning up your food supply, which is like stupid.
Yep. Yeah. Or of course the simple thing of the, you know, spending tax dollars to subsidize ethanol creation so that it costs only as much as real gas, but you'll go less far, you won't go quite as far on.
Right. Yeah.
You'll get shittier gas mileage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The only time I've ever had to do the walk of shame with a jerry can in my hand was when I first moved down to Massachusetts and I had a truck with a dodgy gas gauge that wasn't a problem for me because I knew how much, you know, how many miles I could go on a tank of gas. And I thought I had enough to limp it back to a better gas station. And if I had used real gas, I would have gotten there with, you know, 2 or 3 gallons to spare. And nope, suddenly I was losing power. I was downshifting and it wasn't doing anything.
Oops. Yep. Thank you, government overreach.
Fucking corn squeezins.
Damn, cornhole.
Well, look at the time. It's time.
It's bedtime.
Yep.
It's beer o'clock.
That's
oh,
right.
Wait, no, it was beer o'clock 2 hours
ago. It's whiskey o'clock now.
It's time to start drinking water, kids.
Yep. It's NyQuil o'clock.
All right. Well, good night, everybody.
Night, y'all.
Guess I picked the wrong week to stop smoking crystal meth.